Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Yeah. Right. And don't y'all think some of these men that have been married 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if asked, would pour into some of these younger married guys?
Man, I hope they would. I really do. I mean, they've got that life experience and, you know, where they have been faithful, where they have led spiritually, where they have led, you know, financially, they've led, you know, whatever way that needed to be led during a season of life. And if there is value to that, even the wrong way of doing it, and they can speak from that experience. But if they don't, you know, speak into a young man's life, I think they really probably rob God of his glory, because he's going to use the entire story of transformation to help a young man. Hey, you don't have to walk this way. You don't have to go this way. I've already been down this path. It's not going to be fruitful for you. It's not going to make a difference in your life. You're making a mistake by how you're responding to a certain situation. Or, you know, there's a lot of times I think the young men are looking for that, but I don't really understand why senior men or seasoned men, so to speak, in life don't feel like they've got a lot to offer. I would just tell you, if you're listening today, you have a lot to offer.
Yes.
You have a lot. You know, your wins are great. Your losses are great. I mean, how do teams make adjustments? They get beat and they got to go make adjustments and come back and, you know, they want to put points on the board, or they want to win the next game. They've got to make adjustments. And I think that's what men do. They learn how to do that spiritually, and they get help around them. And that's what I hope would take place after this podcast, that men would say, hey, man, I got something to offer. I can't teach a theological lesson, but I can teach out of my life. And
that's right.
That's really what we need to give is, too many guys are trying to make it a professional opportunity when that's not how God made it. It is a personal relationship with Jesus and other men that we can really minister to.
Yeah. We had a couple in our church in Indiana that when they first started coming to our church, they were in their 90s. And during the time that they were with us, they celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
I think that's the longest I've ever met a couple being married for 75 years. And but they were a couple. I love talking to both of them from that perspective. Like, man, what did you do? Like, what did marriage look like for you guys over 75 years, you know? And there was so much wisdom began from him, and he wasn't a person in ministry. She wasn't a person in ministry. These were God-loving people, you know, who attended church faithfully, you know, and loved each other, raised godly children. You know, that was the other thing about them. All of their children loved the Lord and served the Lord in some capacity. And so these weren't ministry professionals, but they were doing it right. You know, so it was people like that I love to get around and just, you know, hear their story. Yeah. Talk to them, you know, about what it was like, you know, in their day, you know, because obviously it was different, you know, than for me, but the principles are still the same.
Yeah. And it wasn't any easier necessarily. I mean, you know, we say this all the time that I say this all the time that marriage and children are two hardest things I've ever done.
Amen.
It's much harder than in leading a church, getting a seminary degree. It exposes more out of me and inside me, and brings out more stuff inside me than anybody else does. And my wife has that freedom to call me out. If I'm not walking closely with the Lord, the first people to typically see it is my family. I can come here and put a facade on at church and act like everything's okay, but they know when I'm not walking closely. And it was modeled for me. I like to say this a lot. I know it's Father's Day coming up, that at home, I saw growing up the same man at home that I did in the pulpit. And that's something that I wanted to model and follow. And I do wish, like I told this story maybe before, we you know, do table groups, and we've had some of the older men just kind of like, hey, you know, this is not for me. And one that was married 60 plus years said, I know what it means to do. I've been married long enough and have great grandkids. I don't need to talk about marriage and children. And that was kind of a direct quote, honestly. And it broke my heart to say, but we need you to pour into younger men on what it means to be married. And I thought of Titus chapter 2. We know that a sound church. And it's interesting. It says, older men teach younger men to be sound in faith. Right. He's talking about older men teaching younger men to be spiritual leaders of their wives or their homes. And then it says older women admonish young women to do what? To love their husbands, right? To love their children. So he's saying older men and older women teach older, younger men and younger women to be married, what it means to walk with Christ in your marriage. And so something we're missing. And I asked the question because I don't think a lot of older men that I've seen, maybe you guys have, of they're going around wanting to disciple, mentor. But I do know most of the time I've also seen the other end of that when younger men will ask, most of the time, some of those older men would say, yeah, I'd love to meet with. And I like what you said, Keith. It's not a theology lesson. It's a life lesson. That's important.
Right. And that's where the power of God's word comes in, is that, you know, we go to classes and, you know, roundtable discussions, those kind of things. What I think we're trying to do, at least what I hope we're trying to accomplish there, is just let the word do its job and expose us to where we are. And then we got a response to that. I mean, we can talk about it. We can think about it. Gives men a chance. They're not teaching the lesson, but they are teaching a lesson, and they're talking about how this has impacted their life and some adjustments they would make right now and some that they probably should have made right when they were younger. But, you know, if they're not able to communicate the application and practical means of Scripture, why are we preaching the Bible? Why are we teaching the lessons if we don't give an avenue where they can use the life experience of marriage or family or whatever? One thing I'd say, too, before the next question would be, I believe the most impactful time of our generation could be when we do focus on marriage, when we do focus on family, when we do make it a priority in our churches, and not just have other things that are out there. I think it took the greatest gospel movement we could probably ever see, or transformational movement or missional movement we could ever see, would be to focus on marriage and family, would be to offer those opportunities. And I think that's something we need to really pray about. And really, it's not going to happen unless men lead that. I think women have tried that for years to lead those things. We've tried to offer those things. But until men lead the way, we're still going to struggle.
That's right. That's right. And which is why we have some of the men conferences and retreats and that we host for men to be trained in how to be men, how to be fathers and husbands and those types of things. But it does kind of lead to the next question, because we hear a lot about the word surrender and a lot about the word submission in marriage. And those, I do a lot of weddings, and it's interesting that that more and more people are asking to take out the word submission when it talks about the vows of the wife. And we have, it's God's idea, God's word. You know, we're interpreting it according to our culture. And it's an important word, because we can't lead out of if we're not submitting to the Lord. That's why it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And I tell men that want to abuse that word for serving their authority, that if you look in Ephesians 5, the verses for men are twice as long as the verses for women. And I tell people this all the time. If the man is loving his wife like Christ loved the church, that sacrifice, that's freely giving up himself willingly, what godly woman wouldn't want to willingly place yourself under that authority, right? So let's talk about, let's talk about loving and leading your wife and what that looks like with the word submission and surrender. So Keith and Justin, how do you differentiate between true submission and active surrender to his will? And then follow up with that, why are both of those postures essential for us as husbands to effectively love and lead our wives in a way that honors Christ?
I mean, I would say, you know, I think biblically speaking, until a man submits to God, nothing in his life, family, or church is going to change. And, you know, we oftentimes think his submission is a womanhood issue. No, it's a manhood issue. And Jesus teaches that out of Philippians chapter 2. Shows us what submission looks like. He leads the way. And he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so part of the journey in a man's life, I think, really does connect the two together. I think surrender and submission kind of play together. And we submit to an authority beyond ourselves. We're trying to lead according to God's plan and design. So I need to, you know, die daily in order to live under that authority and power and privilege to lead and you know, to learn. And even learn, I've got to submit. And to know what might be next in my life and family, I've got to submit to a God who knows what's coming and knows what I need. And But I think, you know, when you think about surrender, it's just, God, I give up. I don't know the answer. I don't know the way. And the Bible teaches us to, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God's going to provide that. So, you know, to me, unless you're in a submissive posture who has surrendered to what God wants to do in your own life, you know, how can you even lead anybody else? And I think it just starts with him. A lot of times we're saying, you know, the wife's got to submit. Well, I think scripture clearly teaches, man, nothing's going to change until a man submits. And
yeah, amen.
And I think, you know, when it comes to seeing the difference between those two, I think a wife needs to see the husband do that actively every day. Like, each day I'm submitting to Christ and his authority. Like, sure, it's a one-time decision, but every day it's an everyday decision as well. I'm submitting to Christ's authority today in my life, which I think there's a divine order to it as well that leads to this very visible surrender, where I've surrendered my thoughts, my actions. I think of Psalm 103 when I think of these two terms. It's, you know, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Bless the Lord. I mean, I think you can see just in that phrase, the submission, you know, that God's that he's the authority, that he's the sovereign ruler. And so, you know, I think you see that in that phrase, but then he goes on and says, and all that is within me. So every part of my being. So I think you see the surrender of the psalmist there. So there's that active surrender that takes place to the control of God in his life, that I'm not living according to my wishes, desires, or wants, that I've completely sold out and surrendered. I've waved the white flag to not only lead my life, but to lead my home the way that Christ wants me to. And so I don't think of any surrender without submission.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.